Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host of Spiritual Hollywood, and I want to say thank you to BBS Radio, Don Newsom, Douglas Newsom, and Seth Hendrick at BBS for providing us with this awesome platform to raise consciousness using positive media. I have such a treat this evening for our Spiritual Hollywood guest. I have two people on. They go together like peanut butter and chocolate, and what a story they have of transformation. The website is www.mayibefrankmovie.com. That's www.mayibefrankmovie.com. Go ahead and pull that up, being this is internet radio. And you will be amazed at what you find there. I will begin by just reading a bit of the plot outline of the film. I've seen the whole film, the whole 90 minutes, and I laughed as much as I cried. And I was just so excited of what is possible when you have loving, caring people around you and you learn to love yourself enough to receive love from others. Miracles happen all over the place, and you're going to hear a lot about that tonight on this interview with Frank and Ryland. Frank Ferrante, actually. Ferrante? I think I'm saying that
Ferrante.
Right. Ferrante, yes. I'm going to apologize.
Ferrante, yes.
Frank Ferrante and Ryland Engelhart, which means angel heart, I believe, in Dutch. And they came together because all Frank Ferrante wanted was to fall in love one more time before he died. And when the filming began, the film is called May I Be Frank. Frank was 54 and weighed in at a whopping 290 pounds, and both parents were from Sicily, and Frank was raised in a southern Italian neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York, so you get the kind of picture of the lifestyle and the kind of food. Frank has a checkered past, which I'm sure he'd be happy to share. He's had a long and nearly lethal drug and alcohol experiences, many of those, I'm thinking. And he developed a knack for getting stoned at the perfectly wrong time, along with a keen ability to create awkward moments and generate those during his adventures. And he came in contact with hepatitis C. He's being treated with interferon and ribavirin, I believe it's called. He takes Prozac and drinks 10 espressos a day to try and maintain some shred of sanity. He is an ex-addict. He's accused of being a terrible father and nasty ex-husband and a lousy brother. He is a lost soul, alone and unlovable. Frank is rarely happy and never content. With each passing moment, Frank's hope dims. He believes there is a better way, but he is stuck and lost in his darkness. The spheres were about to conspire against Frank's misery. One day, Frank stumbled into the arena of his long awaited adventure, Cafe Gratitude, a raw organic vegan restaurant in the Sunset District of San Francisco, where Frank is offered something remarkable, a chance to see his life through a different lens. An ensuing conversation with Frank and the cafe manager, Ryland Engelhart, results in the creation of an experiment to help Frank achieve his wish to fall in love. The proposal: one, Frank comes into Cafe Gratitude for 42 days and eats only raw vegan organic food. Two, he takes on a 42-day transformational workbook called the Abounding River Workbook. Three, participates in 9 colonics. Oi. Four, goes to see a holistic doctor and get a live blood cell analysis. Five, he agrees to let it all be filmed and see what happens as Frank takes on transformation, that transformation of a lifetime. And I believe, if I'm not incorrect, that Frank ended up losing over 150 pounds, reunited with his daughter, and made amends with his brother, bought him a beautiful motorcycle. It was very touching. And all this and more. So without further ado, I'd love to bring on for you Frank Ferrante and Ryland Engelhart. Thank you both for joining us on Spiritual Hollywood tonight.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. I could not have you here. So I don't think I've been inspired so much since I saw The Secret for the first time. And what the similarity for me in your film and that film is just the abounding possibility about what you dwell on, what you think about, what you, you know, what you have in your consciousness day in and day out is the life that shows up that you live. Mm-hmm. And what was happening for you, Frank, with that kind of consciousness of, and you didn't even know that you didn't know you had that kind of consciousness, I'll bet, until you saw that something else was possible. I'd really love to hear from you, Frank, of what it was like to find all this love and support around you when you were just about to perhaps meet your maker.
Once again, thank you for inviting me. And you know, I have to say that it's still difficult to listen to that that intro. You know, it's been an interesting experience having to revisit myself at a point of what Conrad would call the heart of darkness, and to revisit that until I get to the point where I'm actually okay with it. And the other, you know, the other thing I wanted to mention the consciousness aspect of it is that up until really relatively recently, I saw myself as a product of my environment rather than the other way around, which, you know, took me all this time to figure out that what shows up in my life is what I'm creating, it's not the other way around. And I forgot your question.
Well, I think what you just said was, wasn't it amazing to find out that what was going on in your life is your creation and your responsibility? I mean, how did that feel when that hit you, like no kidding, with astute clarity? How did that feel?
It was a very daunting experience because I think that one of the reasons that I think most people continue living in a particular kind of negativity is because of a reluctance to take responsibility. I mean, basically sobriety and recovery and taking one's life back essentially involves becoming responsible, taking responsibility and ownership for one's behavior. I was very much into being a victim, and when you're a victim, you relinquish the need for taking responsibility for your actions.
Mm-hmm. And you always need a victimizer.
Well, even a victim has a victim. So yeah.
Right. I mean, I know, you know, I have a lot of experience with the kind of lifestyle that you lived. And, you know,
I'm very sorry
to hear
that.
Of it and helping others come to the other side of it as a life coach. And what I've found is when somebody's showing up as a victim, they're the last ones to know, first of all. And it is so they won't have to take responsibility for their lives. And when they are showing up as a victim, they do need a victimizer or they can't maintain being a victim. So they will create victimizers in their life. Like a person will say, well, it's my wife's fault or it's my employer's fault or it's my brother's fault or it's my family's fault or it's somebody else's fault. And it sounds like you transformed your thinking in record time. There are people, Frank, who go through their lives and never, ever, ever, ever get it. I'm talking for many lifetimes never get it. And the fact that you stumbled into the Cafe Gratitude and these guys grabbed hold of you and you agreed, because without your willingness and your free will, it would not have happened. So something about these guys must have caused you to trust them, or you didn't have anything to lose, or both, or, I mean, what was that like, that you were coming from that lifestyle and you walk into something so different that appealed to you?
Well, different is an understatement for what I was used to. Ryland in particular, you know, all of them really, all the boys, but Ryland was the first one I met, and they reminded me of a place that I briefly visited in my lifetime. There was a point in my life where the idealism and the love and sincerity that shone through the eyes and voice of Ryland and the other boys was something that touched me because I remember being that way for a brief time. There was a brief period of my life where I remembered that and I compromised all of that and it went away. And they sort of touched that place that was really dormant and obscure, just obscured by layers and layers of just bad decisions and misdeeds. I was just touched. It would have been impossible for me to describe. This is in retrospect and after a great deal of introspection about it. But I mean, these guys are just great. I mean, they were just sweethearts. They were just like, you know, like little angels. They just were sweethearts. And without guile and with an abundance of love and enthusiasm that was so absent in my life. And it was compelling. And I was so lonely at the time. I was so desperately lonely that the amount of affection that they were generous with, they were so generous with their affection with me, I had to keep going back there because it was sort of like fuel almost. It was, you know, it was something that my soul needed. I was dying. And it was just, you know, sort of like walking into Cafe Gratitude. It was sort of like, you know, in the MASH, in the TV, in the MASH unit, you know, there's the triage, you know, the Cafe Gratitude was like triage. And, they decided that this soul was in more trouble than most that walked in, and they gave me a hell of a lot of attention.
Wow, that's wonderful. And what was it like to experience that kind of food? Wasn't that just like a shock to your system because it was not anything like you'd been used to for the raw food?
Yeah, it was a departure from what I would get at Little Italy. That's true. They don't have any wheatgrass in North Beach, you know, so, but it was a departure, but it was all part of the adventure. You know, like it was kind of like it was a little, you know, unsettling. Eating some of the stuff was very unfamiliar to me. Just the notion of raw food. I mean, the only thing that raw that I ever ate really were, you know, celery sticks, carrots, and you know, fruit. But this was a whole thing. It wasn't just the food, though. It was a lifestyle. It wasn't just the food. It was the people that were serving it. The atmosphere that. You know, that surrounded it, the ambiance was just, it was a very different situation. It just wasn't about eating, as I say in the film, nuclear-powered rabbit food. Actually, it was the spiritual container that the food was presented in that was rather compelling.
And gratitude.
Yes, and gratitude, right. And I wasn't particularly grateful at the time.
right. I'm sure you learned to be after time. Before I go further, I would really like to just give credit to the stars in this film, May I Be Frank. It's Frank Ferrante, Connor Gaffney, Gary Mosier, Rylan Englehart, directed by Greg Marks, Carrie Mosier, or is that Gary?
Carrie Mosier.
Connor Gaffney and Rylan Englehart, produced by Connor Gaffney, Gary Mosier, and Rylan Englehart. This is just a total labor of love for all three of you guys. Again, the website is mayibefrankmovie.com. And being this is Spiritual Hollywood, I can't think of a better couple of guests to have on the show because what you've done, Frank, by allowing them to film the most private, intimate places in your life, in your heart, and in your world, you have given us a rare treat of watching ourselves through your life. And, you know, as I was watching your story and what you were going through, I just cried and cried and cried because I relate with every single moment that you went through in this film. And I'm sure anybody who watches it will, because we're all connected and we're all human and we're subject to the human condition. And these thoughts we have about ourselves might have us do different things, yet it all has the same result where we're left feeling alone, abandoned, like a victim, and just not connected to anything that is inspiring. So, you know, everything about this film is just beautiful. And for me, it really reeks of, smacks of, is dripping with divinity. And Ryland, I'd love to hear from you now of what you felt the minute you knew that Frank needed this transformational journey and how source Creator put it on your heart and mind to offer that. What was that like for you?
Beautiful. Thank you for that introduction. Thank you for, yeah, thank you for having me. Wow. Well, there I was serving tables. At the time, I wasn't actually a manager quite yet in Cafe Gratitude. I was a server. And, through the service at Cafe Gratitude and in reference to Frank talking about, it wasn't just the food. It really was the container that we offered, which really is a container practicing unconditional love. You know, gratitude is a school of transformation. Practicing, can we create a container that holds people in a space that they get to practice being grateful, practice being unconditionally loving to one another as well as to the customers and people that come in and out of the restaurant. And so inside of one of the aspects of the service, there's a question of the day. And the question of the day that day is, what's one thing you want to do before you die, or what's one thing you want to do with the rest of your life? And that was where you described, you know, Frank saying, you know, I want to fall in love one more time before I die. And I don't think that's possible because I don't love myself, you know, being 300 pounds, being, you know, wearing this shell of weight. And, it struck me deep. It's sort of like one of those undescribable experiences where you just know that you are to get into action. You know, it's just like in that moment, not knowing any way that it was going to get done, I knew that just to follow my intuition, follow the idea to, you know, make this request in that moment, I knew to, you know, ask him, and it was awkward, you know, asking a customer in a restaurant, do you want to try an experiment where you eat this food and practice this spiritual philosophy and allow 20 or, you know, 3 20-something-year-old young men to guide you in life and see what happens as an experiment. I mean, that's an awkward thing to, you know, present, but, you know, it felt right. And it was definitely an idea that had once come up before, you know, after seeing the movie Super Size Me. Mm-hmm. And of course there was like, you know, since Cafe Gratitude had opened and we were serving this amazing, vegan, organic, fresh food, that the final line of our mission statement at Cafe Gratitude is, may thy food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. And so since we had opened, there had been a lot of miracle stories of people eating this way and healing themselves from different things. And so, you know, we thought, oh wow, what a beautiful demonstration that would be to really take someone through the process of, you know, a reverse version to supersize me, and really on all levels, on a physical level with the food, on an emotional level, you know, having this loving community just, you know, wrapping themselves around this person, showering them with unconditional love, and then the spiritual practices of, you know, being grateful, and that your life is a picture of your mind, and what you put your attention on all day long is what you're going to experience. And, so it, the beautiful, beautiful thing about it was we had no idea how it was going to get done. We didn't own a camera. We didn't know the first thing about it. So, it's me, my brother, and my best friend who were all working in that same cafe, and literally no idea how it was going to get done. It was just started with a declaration and posing the question, do you want to try this? And being sort of scared and confronted that Frank actually said yes, because now we had to be responsible about it, and now we had to do something about it. And, you know, it has been such a miraculous journey. You know, I can't even describe all the miracles. I mean, I can describe, actually, I'm here to describe the miracles, which I'm excited about. But,
which miracles do you feel like talking about? Because there are many things. I mean, I think that my memory took a picture of every frame of that film because it's with me constantly. I mean, it is inside of me now. And I don't look at people the same way anymore. I don't think the same way anymore. I thought it was pretty good already, but after I saw that film, something about my heart opened up more. And I believe this film needs to be seen by everybody. And
I'm
wondering who's seen it so far, what have you done so far, what do you want to do? And you know, I'm a firm believer that when you, rather than ask how you're going to do something, which I call the cursed house, you ask why you want to do it. And when you ask why instead of how, when you ask why, the universe shows up and shows you how to do it, and all your physical needs are provided for. And it looks like that's what happened in this film. You stopped asking how and started looking at why, and the why is obvious because Frank Ferrante's life got turned around, like, no kidding, like 1,000,000%, where he probably saved himself 13 lifetimes coming back to get it right just by running into you guys. So you know what I mean by that? Where you're working out your karma? That's what we're here for, is to get our divinity. And you introduced Frank Ferrante to his divinity in 42 days, probably sooner than that.
Well, yes, I'll say yes to that. And you know, the beautiful thing that I've really seen is, you know, every destination becomes the next practice, progress, transformation. That's what's been so beautiful. You know, the film got him to a certain point. And then, you know, and then there was another, you know, it's like, and it's led up to, you know, continuously unfolding miraculous things. But, you know, what I can own is, yeah, that there was a complete intervention and a line in the sand that, you know, life started going a different direction from that 42 days. I mean, I would be bold enough to say that absolutely that's the truth. And I would, you know, happy for Frank to share about that too. But, that was a huge intervention and a life-changing shift that happened in that place that's continued to unfold until this day.
Yeah, and I believe that this documentary is worthy of an Oscar.
Wow.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm also a talent manager. I've been in the entertainment industry for almost 3 decades. And one of my day jobs is being a talent manager, and one of my clients is Jeff Van Vonderen of the A&E hit show Intervention. Mm-hmm. And how that came about was a declaration about 6 or 7 years ago. I had a client who needed an intervention for alcoholism. He was a celebrity, and I needed a special interventionist because this celebrity was also a Christian, and not only were they not supposed to drink, they weren't supposed to be dependent on it. So I found out from production that he was blowing raspberries on his leading lady's belly, and that was inappropriate. And then one thing led to another, and I found out he was drinking mouthwash and that he had vodka in his water bottle and that he was drunk before 7 o'clock in the morning because his body depended on alcohol. So we called an interventionist, and Jeff Van Vonderen was the one we found in Minnesota. We flew him out. He trained us for 3 days, and 9 people sat in the room against the windows and doors so he couldn't escape. And by 9 o'clock in the morning, he was already inebriated and had just brought a kid home from swimming. And we all read a letter to him that we wrote and told him, you know, that we love him and how we feel about him and what he's been doing, how that's affected all of us, and what we required for him to be in our lives. And he did agree to go to treatment. And after he did so, it was such a beautiful thing to witness that I asked the interventionist, Jeff, I said, can you meet me for coffee tomorrow? When are you flying out? He goes, in the afternoon. I said, can you meet me? He said, yeah. So I said, you need to have your own show. I didn't know there was such a thing as interventionists. I didn't know that this was available. The world needs to know. You will save so many families and so many lives if this is on television. Well, in our 6th season, they won their first season. They won the Prism Award, which is the Art of Making a Difference, and they also won that night. It happened to have been my birthday, too.
Wow.
They also won the Prism Presidential Award, which is the Art of Leaving a Legacy. They won an Emmy on Sunday night or Saturday night. They won an Emmy. So finally the show won an Emmy, and that just happened 2 days ago. And I'm saying that this intervention you did with Frank, with Frank's willingness and free will, is completely worthy of an Oscar. I believe just people watching the transformation, Frank, and you're so generous and just such an angel yourself to let us watch you unfold like that and open up like a beautiful flower. I mean, when you had your meltdown, these guys were midwiving you into a new life. You were being born again right in front of us, and you were so vulnerable and wonderful. And watching you do yoga, it was amazing. You know, you just did as much as you could do until you could do it, you know, and it was really, really inspiring. So I believe that, this film, May I Be Frank, can win an Oscar, can go on to do all kinds of other things. You know, I see definitely a sequel in the, you know, that if that's possible. I see Cafe Gratitude as a wonderful, I don't know, maybe you could have a Cafe Gratitude retreat kind of situation where it becomes like a healing center as well as restaurants all over the place. I mean, you know, possibilities are completely endless.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
There's actually, already in existence, there is three workshops that are led by Matthew and Tercy Engelhart, who is my dad and stepmom and the mom of Carrie, who is also, you know, a participant, one of the people in who created this film. And yes, there's actually already a curriculum that is being offered to the staff, but even much bigger than that, just people in general. And they've led to hundreds and hundreds of people from Mexican, like Catholic priests to Mexican organic agricultural federations to large groups of people in Kansas City, all over the country. That really is the work is getting out in the restaurants, and it's also getting out in other formats as well, you know, as workshops.
Great.
But the one thing I wanted to say was just some of the key point miracles that took place about the film. One being the day that we both declared, me, Frank, Carrie, Connor, declared we were going to do the film. You know, we didn't know where to begin. The first thing, you know, I did know was call a friend of mine who was in film, who I used to live with in L.A., call him, that very phone call, he tells me that his friend is coming up to San Francisco the next day, and he actually has a Panasonic DVX-1000 camera that he wants to sell for super cheap, and that's the camera that we want for the film. The next day, boom, camera shows up. And, you know, so it's just like, that was completely, completely miraculous. You know, and then...
Add one thing, Ryland, this is really cool that we all committed to begin on Valentine's Day.
That's right.
I thought was really cool.
You wanted to fall in love one more time before you die, and you started on Valentine's
Day. And the other beautiful thing that is that the reason Frank was actually in the neighborhood of Cafe Gratitude was based on love and service for his actual family, a cousin, right, Frank? He was heading to a specialty video to get an Italian film for a cousin of his, right?
I was going to go visit my cousin who was ill in San Diego, and I went to Lure Video to pick up some Italian films that were subtitled rather than dubbed.
Uh-huh. That was very, very kind of you.
So, you know, and it was, you know, in his life, and what he was up to in his life right there, it was like him stepping out of his comfort and actually, you know, doing a service for someone, and then in that service, he found a place that became such a service to his life.
Absolutely.
So the camera showed up. You know, we shot the 42 days, miraculous, you know, transformations that people will see in the film. You know, Frank experiencing all these different, you know, going from being on interferon, which was his medicine for the hepatitis C, and being completely lethargic and sort of like dead to the world, to the food really supporting him, able to feel up and awake and alive and being able to participate with us. And you know, and we go in for our first, it was just, Frank, you want to talk about anything about the 42 day progress, in the process of the 42 days?
Yeah.
Well,
and I also would like to know, how's the hepatitis C now that he has this new lifestyle?
Well, first of all, I'm happy to say that, it's gone. It's really, there's virtually no trace. The only evidence of it are the antibodies that exist, similar to when you have a smallpox vaccine, and so you have some antibodies that reflect that you have, you know, that there's smallpox in your system, but there's no, virtually it's gone. There's no liver damage. Liver enzymes are well within normal range. It doesn't exist. It's almost like it never existed.
Congratulations. That is amazing.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you.
That's amazing. And I know with raw food, people can turn around type 2 diabetes within 30 days. So, you know, it's all in let thy food be thy medicine, let thy medicine be thy food, is very, very true. And, you know, and what a wonderful time to be alive where we have people responding to a new consciousness, a new way of thinking. I believe 2012 is simply a marker for when consciousness shift is going to really just be impacted in such a way that those who aren't ready to have their consciousness shift will be the ones who are suffering. And I believe that it's not the end of the world. I believe it's the beginning, and that it's pure expansion that's taking place. And, you know, whatever called you guys forth to do this, you are such riding that wave of new consciousness, like awesome surfers, all of you, and bringing this awareness through film is, you know, that's what I'm all about with Spiritual Hollywood, is doing exactly what you all have done. And I just really want to congratulate you and let you know that your divinity is showing all over the place.
Well, thank you very much. It's very kind.
It's my truth, and you know, you don't make a film like that and not be authentic. I mean, it just is pure authenticity. And what it sounds like, Frank, is that you had lost your authentic self along the way in life, and what these three young guys helped you do was find your authentic self again.
The authentic self is, what I did was, one just doesn't happen to lose the authentic self. I began a series of compromises. I began just a series of compromising my core beliefs bit by bit by bit. It was, there's that mythology about selling one's soul to the devil, and, you know, I'm not sure I aspire to that whole devil thing, but nevertheless, it seems like a very discreet transaction. You go somewhere, you go to the devil, you know, and you make this exchange. In fact, it's a slow, corrosive process, and one day you wake up and you just don't know who you are, and you don't know how you got there. And when I met these guys, they were, again, as I said earlier, a glimpse into something, a glimpse into a part of myself that I had just basically turned my back on, and that I used to really love. You know, I mean, I didn't start out life, with neurosis. You know, I didn't start out, you know, ready for therapy. I started out, you know, just like anybody else, loving kid, you know, just always a happy, you know, I was a good kid, just made some bad choices. But when I met these guys, I got a glimpse into this place, and I wanted to reemerge and revisit myself, you know, and the heart is, it's interesting, the heart is, it's not like the brain. The heart has no idea what time it is. The heart has no idea how old it is. It has no idea of anything. It just loves, and it just loves, I'm really grateful that's the case, you know. I believe it was Emerson who said the longest journey of my life was the 18 inches between my brain and my heart. And these guys helped me to facilitate that journey.
Right, right. And, you know, a lot of people compromise their core values over time, and they don't realize that they're corroding. They don't have a clue. I mean, it happens to all of us in some way or the other through life. I mean, it's really hard to escape it. So, you know, when I say you lost track of your authentic self, that's just because the core values were compromised over time and you don't know how you got there. That speaks volumes for everybody. I mean, everybody goes through some part of that. I think it's part of our process, you know, and it's what you do about it that matters. And you know, if we're fortunate enough and blessed enough to have insight to notice when, you know, Creator has sent us a helicopter, a boat, and a plane,
right,
to grab onto one of them and let it take us to that place we're meant to be next. And it sounds like you did that.
Mm, beautiful. Yeah.
And, you know, during the thing is that during that process, I mean, I had no idea. You know, this conversation is really great and really pleasant because I'm not in that place anymore. Because when traveling, when immersed in the heart of darkness, I didn't have a clue as to what was going on or what I was doing or anything like that. It just, all I know is that I was in a tremendous amount of pain and I wanted out. And, I wanted some relief. I didn't calculate that I had compromised my core beliefs. I wasn't that astute about where I was at that point. I was just a wreck. I wanted to feel better. And I didn't care how that was going to show up. Fortunately, it showed up in the form of carrot juice and wheatgrass rather than heroin, you know, and cocaine,
wow.
You know, that's basically where I was.
Great, great. And I'd like to comment on the whole devil thing, because I'm with you on that. I believe I have an acronym for Satan, and it goes like this. Satan is seeing all things as negative, S-A-T-A-N. So,
very nice.
Yeah, to me that's what the devil is seeing all things as negative. And, you know, it's like this is what goes on in the human condition. And we all have our varying degrees of it. So you're really not unlike many, many others who aren't even ready to be ready to think about the possibility that their life may not be working out for them. So what you've allowed us to watch you go through is incredibly inspiring on that level. And, you know, can't thank you enough for that.
Thank you. I got to tell you that it's still hard to watch. It's still hard to watch. It's still, you know, that watching. It's similar to this. I'm sure. I've never met you, but I see you on the internet. And you, as lovely as you are, I'm sure that you have a photograph that makes you cringe. And you look at a photograph and you think, "Oh my God. I gotta burn this thing. I can't just, that's a photograph." Well, imagine, you know, 90 minutes of film, continual film about what was really one of the most difficult times of my life. And, you know, and I have no input into what goes in or out of that film because I committed to it. So, yeah, it was very, very, sobering. It was painful. It was actually, it was very painful to watch, and still to this day, I'm much better at it, but I'd rather, when we've had screenings, I much prefer waiting in the lobby and, you know, until the end and then, you know, come out and, like, I'm okay with it, but it's quite an exercise in, self-acceptance.
Well, you know, the transformation from your appearance from the beginning to the, you know, to present day, from what I saw in the film is, you know, when I saw you first, when you were first introduced, I saw a very handsome man. And after you lost all the weight and, you know, at the end of the film, you were an exquisite looking human being. Exquisite looking. And
thank you.
Learned to love yourself. And what I got out of this film, Frank, that really moved me a lot. I mean, many things did, but this is the one main thing. You wanted to know love again before you died, and it happened on Valentine's Day that you committed, and by golly, you learned to love the most important person in the world, yourself.
Indeed.
You got what you asked, but it didn't look like you thought it would.
No, not at all. Not at all. But I tell you, you know, in a way, it's almost kind of like, it's really, it almost feels silly to say, you know, because I've heard so often, even some child in the 60s, you have to love yourself before you love it. And I always thought, yeah, I didn't really bought it. And it wasn't until this point in my life where I realized how true that is, that how can I, it's, you know, that the adage of beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Well, in order for me to recognize the beauty and love in another human being, there has to be a part of me that resonates with that, or I can't see it. Mm-hmm. And so I realized that that inner work. I mean, that's where I think it's really too bad, you know, that people shy away from the very thing that will say. I mean, I'm no expert on anything. I say that all the time because I'm really not. I do have my own. I have experience, strength, and hope that's just purely subjective, you know, and I think that people, and I did this for years where I just avoided looking at certain things that if I just would have looked at them and dealt with them, cleaned them up, and then made amends and whatever it took to put that behind me, that would allow me to experience life in the sunshine of the spirit instead of constantly under a cloud. And what I thought was a shortcut wasn't. And you know, if you keep cutting corners, what winds up happening is you wind up going around in circles. Yeah. And that's what I was doing. And
like that phrase. That's wonderful. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I have also Katieism for the word beautiful. It's be you to the fullest.
That's interesting because in that response email that I sent to you, I said, thank you so much. You are all beauty, and then dash F-U-L-L, beautiful, full of beauty.
That and you know, it made me think of, wow. I always say be you to the fullest, which is beautiful. So it's good synergy. It's just, you know, perfection, and the fact that we crossed each other's path is more perfection and more synergy and flow. If you'd like to mention a little bit about that, Ryland, how we were talking about that earlier today.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many miracles, and yeah, here we are on the radio right now, and the way that this happened was I was selling gratitude food at a yoga studio and sold like $37 worth of food on my day off to go help a woman who wanted, you know, there to be, you know, refreshments at a book signing at a yoga studio. And it just turns out that one out of the five people that showed up was a guy named Doug who, you know, heard me share about May I Be Frank and my aspirations for it and what I was up to in the world. And he contacted me with, you know, this one event, and then he just emailed me, you know, and for a week the email just sat. I was like, oh yeah, he wants me to get in touch with someone. And then something about it told me, respond to that email. And the way I responded to that email was sort of funny and quirky. I just said, not sure why I'm writing this email, but I'm just clear that the universe has some plans for it. So I'm at your service. Let me know why we're connecting. And then, boom, you write back, and I'm just like, oh, my God, this whole film has been built on the practices and principles of manifestation and creating the life that we want, that is, you know.
What did I write back to you?
What's that?
What was it I said back to you?
What you said back to me, what did you can remember what you said back to me better. What did you say back to me? You said, you said,
whole 90 minutes. And
yeah, that's right. I watched the whole 90 minutes, and I laughed as much as I cried. That is the makings of a beautiful film, and that who you are is someone who is a host of a radio show that's all about transformation through media, and that you were part of the PR company or a group that put out the movie The Secret, which when I saw that movie, I was like, oh my God, that is what I do every day. That's the life that I'm living. That's the philosophy. That is the beingness, the essence of what I'm sharing all day, every day, and is what really was the foundation and fundamentals of how we created this film from nothing.
Right. Absolutely. And The Secret used the premise of The Secret to create The Secret.
That's right.
That's the way our PR company runs as well. We use the premises, the ask, believe, receive premise to create, you know, uplift leaders and visionaries, and wonderful films like yours and all kinds of great works were a catalyst for helping that wave of new consciousness come into being. And I was just as excited to hear about you as you may have been to hear about us. So, you know, this is a wonderful connection. We call ourselves dot connectors.
Dot connectors, that's right.
What's next for you guys with May I Be Frank?
Yeah, I just wanted to I'll share that. So the beautiful thing is the film, we finished the 42 days and had 200 hours of footage, and we thought when we got off work we'd edit it together and that it was going to be something that we'd show to our in-laws at Christmas. And we gave up many, many times because it just looked like too daunting, too much. Frank, sort of fell out of our lives. We fell out of Frank's life, and we just, you know, sort of many times gave up. And then for me personally, I know that there was this same experiencing happening for everyone, but for me it would be I'd be in the shower, and there would just be something that would tell me, finish the film. You have to finish that film. And then, you know, the moment I'd get that inspiration, the next day some physical reality would show up, such as a new employee would come into the cafe who's like, oh, I'm a film student. I love film. I heard about your film. Can I help you out? And then that would be the next piece. And then the biggest piece that really landed in our lap was Greg Marks. And we just have to give just super, super huge thanks to him, because he really came in to our lives at a time where it was like, all right, we'd done all we could do with the project. And he took these hours and hours and hours and hours of life and had moved from New York, because he was sort of burned out on the corporate film editing, sort of job by job thing, and moved to California to work on Conscious Media. And his roommate was one of my best friends. And so he saw, we met him, we gave him the videotapes. He stayed up for 2 days straight watching all the videotapes, called us, and was like completely moved to tears and was, you have an amazing film. And then that was, he literally turned videotapes and a beautiful, heartfelt project and attempt, he turned it into an amazing piece of art that really could touch, move, and inspire the masses that what the film looks like today. And so I just want to publicly, in the world, acknowledge and thanks Greg Marks for really, Frank said it best, can't remember how you said it, but he turned, you know, we had a bunch of yarn, or
we spun a bunch of yarn, and what Greg did was he opened the closet and the yarn fell out and noticed that there were threads of gold in this haphazard bunch of yarn, and he wove a tapestry that is remarkable. He just wove a tapestry out of we may have spun the yarn, but this guy wove the tapestry, and neither one of them would be what they, neither one of them would matter had not Greg intervened and did his magic, and I'm eternally grateful to him as well. He just wove a tapestry that is worthy of any palatial wall, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, do you see what happens when you surrender?
Yes.
Yeah, you surrender and you win.
It's synonymous. I mean, it means the same thing. Surrender.
Let go, and you're in the flow. Yeah, it's so miraculous. I'm so present to the power of love, and you know, I mean, the miracles that have shown up thus far, just some big highlights. One, Alanis Morissette gave us a song for the film, because I met her and I just expressed my love of life and my love of this project. And, you know, what I really got was, you know, her love is her music. My love was the love of humanity, my love for Frank, my love for this film. And so there was no more valuable, less valuable. It was just love. And so when you bring love to the table, people want to bring their love to the table too. And so she just blessed us with a song, you know, gave us an amazing song. Jason Mraz, who's massive, you know, pop star, he saw the film because he's a friend of friends of ours. It completely had a transformational effect on his life and opened up a whole new possibility around creating a relationship with his father that has completely expanded his life. Like, I mean, he's in touch with us all the time, supporting us. He wrote a song specifically for the film called What Would Love Do Now?
Mm-hmm. No, and the music was extremely moving as well.
And he's actually going to show the preview to the previews of our trailer at his show at the Greek Theater in Berkeley on the 9th of October.
Hey!
He's just a complete whatever he can do, he is doing for us. And then the other miraculous thing is Greg ran into a woman on a plane, a lawyer who then connected him with a woman named Sue Turley who works for she's actually become the actually is the consulting producer on the project, and she has actually gotten the film to the O Network. And we know that it's being passed around there, and we're just waiting to hear about the yes from that amazing organization and that access to people and that access to sharing, you know, love with the world. So
it's going to happen very, very fast. I can guarantee you that. There's no question about it. And you know, as long as you guys keep your hearts open and your receivers working great, it will live its destiny. And what I wanted to say too before the end of the show is that the audience for this film lives inside each and every person who are creating it. Mm. And that's why it came into being, in my opinion, is because there's an audience for this film that the collective consciousness called out for it, and each one of you heard that call. You didn't know what it was or why you were doing it.
Yes.
You just knew you had to.
Yes.
Those times when you were in the shower saying, I got to finish this film, that was no random accident, as you well know. And I really see, you know, this is just the beginning for May I Be Frank. And the title couldn't be better, May I Be
Frank. Got to give credit to my brother Carrie for that brilliant, brilliant title.
Simple to think of. I mean, May I Be Frank. Well, of course you can be frank. We want you to be frank. And, you know, when I sent out my email to pique interest for my listeners for the show, all I had to put in the subject was, may I be frank. Well, everybody wants to know what you're going to say, right? So it's like they're thinking I'm saying, may I tell you something that you don't know about yourself.
Well, what's wonderful now is I no longer ask the question. Now I make a declarative statement that I am frank.
Ha ha, yes.
Yes, you are.
I no longer ask permission.
And Frank, you want to share a little bit about being in love?
Yeah, I was wanting to know about that.
What's that? Would you want to
know? Being in love.
Well, actually, it happened, and I am very much in love with a wonderful, extraordinary human being. Her name is Jackie Smith, and who actually the other night asked me to marry her. So I did ask her first, but then she asked me. So anyway, but I think it's and we're going to do it. We haven't set a date, but I'm
Valentine's
very much in
Day.
Love, and
Valentine's
and
Day.
She's Day. Great, and I can't wait for the world to meet her.
Oh, awesome! That's wonderful. Well, I'm sure we will at one of these premieres.
One thing I just wanted to share before. Say it again.
Planning to bring the film to Los Angeles.
Absolutely planning to bring the film to Los Angeles. You know, I know that that's, you know, the media center. That is the vortex for all, you know, launching pad for media. So absolutely, and I believe that this is just one of the stepping stones to that, to us, you know, being down there and really getting this film
securing,
out to the people.
And securing a wonderful distribution deal that will serve all.
Yeah,
right, absolutely win-win. That's the way it works. Wonderful.
Yeah, and that's what I just wanted to share, was just that's sort of where we're at, is really we're seeking theatrical distribution to then do DVD distribution, really because we want this film to be seen by, you know, everyone across the country and the world.
Absolutely. Rhonda Byrne wanted to bring joy to billions, and I'm guessing that's exactly what you all want as well. So I want to give out the website for Cafe Gratitude, which is just the way it sounds, www.cafegratitude.com. And the website for the film is mayibefrankmovie.com. That's mayibefrankmovie.com.
And the trailer's on there, and please sign up for our mailing list such that you can know about dates of screenings. And you can also donate money to the cause and the seeking distribution. And the final thing we didn't talk about, but that was pretty miraculous, we got into Sausalito Film Festival, and we tied for second place out of 25 or something films. We sold the theater out only out of 25 sold the theater out and had a standing ovation. It was completely...
Oh, of course you did. Congratulations. And, boy, that's just a small little sample of what's coming. Hang on to your hats, because I sense some kind of a ginormous sonic boom of love coming out of this film. So
thank you
both for being with us tonight on Spiritual Hollywood. We're at the end of our hour. Again, it's mayibefrankmovie.com, cafegratitude.com, and thank you for bringing Cafe Gratitude to Los Angeles, Studio City area. We can't wait to have a restaurant here of Cafe Gratitude. And when you're in Los Angeles, please, please, please say hello in person and stay in touch. And I know we're going to become very good friends, I have a feeling. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Remember, the last six letters of attraction are action. So let Frank Ryland inspire you to give up your worries and woes. They're too heavy to carry around. Put them down and start living. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Frank and Ryland. It's my
absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And, I'm thrilled and grateful.
Congratulations, Frank.